Call this Wednesday, April 10th, 2019, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I am Vice Chairman Jeff Olson. I'll be presiding over this meeting tonight. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Vineyard?
Aye.
Williams?
Aye.
Perez is absent. Markham?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
And Harker is absent. Thank you.
Are there any questions or amendments to the previous meeting minutes? May I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the Wednesday, March 13th, 2019 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting?
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Williams?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Thank you.
Minutes are approved. Are there any citizen comments from the public tonight regarding any topic not on tonight's agenda? Seeing as there are no comments from the public, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. There are two public hearings scheduled for tonight's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of these hearings is to invite testimony from the members of the public regarding the proposed requests that are being considered before this commission tonight. Public testimony from persons present who wish to speak maybe for or against the requests or to ask questions of the petitioner regarding those requests being heard. Those persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, and state your name and who you represent, if anyone at all. You are also asked to sign in at the podium. If you plan to speak during tonight's public hearing as a petitioner or as a member of the public, please now stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. That's right. I state your name. Do solemnly swear that the testimony I will present at this hearing is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Very well. Thank you. You may be seated. The order for receiving testimony during the public hearing will be as follows. The petitioner presentation, those who wish to speak in favor of the request, and then those who wish to speak in opposition of the request. And that's the outline. May I have a motion to open the public hearing on petition number PZC 2019-05 and PCC 2019-09?
So moved. Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
The first public hearing up for discussion tonight is PZC 2019-05, United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois. Petitioners proposing text amendments to Chapter 2, Rules and Definitions, and Chapter 6, permitted and special uses of the United City of Yorkville zoning ordinance. These proposed amendments will define short-term rental uses and indicate the zoning districts where they are permitted. The second public hearing up for discussion tonight is PZC 2019-09, United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois. Petitioner is proposing the adoption of the Yorkville Downtown Overlay District, which includes a streetscape master plan and the form-based code. The proposed streetscape master plan provides guidance on the direction and character of the future street-related capital improvements in the downtown area. It shows what it's going to look like. The form-based code provides development standards for the downtown with the purpose to guide the development of a mix of uses and pedestrian-oriented environment. Additionally, these standards are aimed at promoting a mix of housing types which are appropriate in scale and, it says intensity here, but did you mean density? Or intensity? Intensity in the downtown. The form-based code codified as Chapter 12 Downtown Overlay District in the Title 10 of the Yorkville Municipal Code. So what it looks like and what the rules are. Is petitioner for PCC 2019-05 present and prepared to make a presentation of their proposed request?
I am.
Right.
All right. These two amendments regard short-term rental regulations. Very commonly, you would know them as Airbnb, VRBO, sharing a room, on a short-term basis. It's one of those things that can be a controversial topic, and a lot of cities over the past 5 years have been trying to figure out, when does a house, when you start renting out, when does it become a hotel? When does it become not residential? Is it in the right zone? And one of these things, it's a thing that a lot of bigger cities are having issues with, as there's lots of tourism and attractions As a smaller city, we wanted to be proactive and take a look at how do we want to go about this. Are there even Airbnbs in Yorkville? What are we doing? As we state in our zoning ordinance, if we do not address it, it is prohibited. Back in the beginning of the year, a lot of data was collected, a lot of information, and we took it to EDC. There was some licensing and some extra regulations and things like that that were proposed. After that EDC committee meeting, we were told that it might be best just to permit it in our residential districts, define it, and permit it. It's not an issue at this time. It's not something that we see that's prevalent in the community. So that's what I'm bringing forth today. So it gives a definition of a short-term rental, and then it permits it in all residential districts.
Could you read the definition?
I can read the definition. The definition is a short-term rental is a home occupation of a single-family dwelling unit that is used as a primary residence by owners or renters or a portion of such unit that is rented for less than 30 days at a time to transient and temporary guests.
Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in favor of the request? Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in opposition to the request? Are there any questions from commission members?
No.
Is the petitioner for then PZC 2019-09 present and prepared to make their presentation?
We are.
Please proceed.
So, would you like to just quickly go over the petition? Obviously, this is an open house, but kind of going over the downtown road.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Good evening, everybody. How are we doing? So, the board's before you probably tell the story as well as I can. The picture's worth a thousand words. So, if you haven't seen it yet, to maybe check it out on the way out. But we were engaged by the village to do two different things: prepare a kind of downtown master plan, a streetscape master plan. And you can sort of see that here. And I'll just say, Chrissy, I think, did a really good kind of intro that we each of the streets in downtown has their own character. And through design can be made its best, not by being a copy of the others, but each one is unique. And so you think you've got a little downtown that can be so fussy about it, but there really is nuance between Bridge and and draw that down. So we think we got that really right. We focused on long-term permanent improvements, which tend to be 5 and 10 years and hundreds of thousands and millions. And then we focused on tactical things, which are things you can do this summer or in the next year. And so this is the kind of state-of-the-art in planning, is to promote the tactical stuff. A lot of time for years and years and years, plans only said, here's the permanent stuff, please adopt my plan, and then it's, so you got 20 years to go by and nothing happens. And so tactical stuff, which I think there may be funding for, we will see funding for, is going to be really exciting. And that's in the age of Instagram, the person that came to downtown York folks played chess with friends and took a picture of it, like, that's free advertising. So that's in the plan as well. The signage, I think, just went up recently, and the banners and so on. So I think they're really sharp-looking palettes, really with color, crisp graphics, and it's installed, so I can cut it down and do that. So that's a high-level overview of all of that. And then on the boards to my left is the form-based code. And so form-based code is probably between 20 and 25-year-old emerging practices zoning. So zoning forever was what's called Euclidean zoning, where it's really the businesses zoning was to say factories over there and housing over there. It's about identifying and segregating land uses, keeping noxious uses away from daycare centers, things like that. So, but in the modern era, we realized that this industry has gotten cleaner, that places that we're attracted to and want to invest in and spend money in tend to be mixed-use places. You'll have some restaurants and some offices and some housing, all kind of cheek to jowl tied in. The thing that is most important to get right over the long term is not to fix the use, because we also know how retail has been, just reinvented, turned on its head with Amazon and other things, but that the form is right. So if it's facing Main Street, it should have a storefront. It's side street and they want to be a freestanding residential building. Then we provide for the different building types between those two extremes. Here we regulate by street. So on this street, the following land uses or building types are permitted. And then if you're around for the open house, I mentioned it. One of the great innovations of the form-based code is it took for a single building, you often have to look at the uses chapter, the bulk chapter, the setbacks chapter, the maximum height chapter, the parking chapter, and a couple other chapters to sort of say, you know, there's six things I have to do all at one time. What the form-based code does, or the form-based code viewer will hopefully adopt, is puts all those regulations for a single building type on a two-page spread. So there's no big hunt around, did I miss something, is there a chapter I should be reading? It's all right there. So it's meant to be user-friendly, both for an applicant and for a neighbor, so that you can predict with fairly good certainty why here, the guy next to me, that's his regulation, I can see what it is. So I think it makes for a more efficient development marketplace. And we also sweated the details about what we thought was an appropriate building in each condition. And so an applicant that comes forward and says, I want to build one of your three, you know, preset buildings along the street or whatever it is. You know, I'm a big pro-business guy in that regard. Like, you meet all our rules, cool, walk out of here with a food permit today. So it's designed to do that. And then the far board is the sort of second innovation of form-based code. Streets, you know, create a lot of value in cities and towns. They're often left to chance. Their design is often left to chance. So if you go visit a place, go to Galena or someplace like that, you're walking the streets. That's your experience. That's an linear outdoor room framed by buildings, but shaped a lot by the traffic experience, the parked cars, the sidewalks, and all that kind of stuff. So rather than leave that to chance, we also design that. So the plan sort of alludes to the character, look and feel we want, and this is sort of make it this wide, make the sidewalk this size, those kinds of things. So it's guidance to public works and all of the entities that contribute to the public realm. So that was my about right. Terrific. Glad to answer questions, but that's it.
Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in favor of the request? Other than Doug? Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in opposition to the request? Is there any questions from the commissioners? Since all public testimony regarding these petitions has been taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony in this public hearing, please?
So moved. Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Thank you.
Public hearing portion of tonight's meeting is closed. In the agenda, seeing as there's no items under unfinished business up for discussion, we'll move on to new business. Christy Jason, you want to present your memo summary of PZC 2019-05?
Pretty much the same as I went through. If you guys have additional questions, you know, feel free to ask them.
And that's for the short-term rent.
This is
short-term rent.
If there are any additional questions?
When I first read the short-term rental thing, I thought, well, if somebody's going to be there for 6 months renting out to somebody, I'd sure be ticked off if I was their neighbor. And I was like, oh, I'll ban it outright. But you can't, apparently, right? That's
30 days or less.
Right. I don't think it's a big problem here. We can always amend it in the future.
You guys confident that you'll have a solution like in next year if this becomes an issue, that you kind of have a course of action already laid out that we might?
So, and when we originally presented this, we did have some licensing kind of qualities to it. So, if it does become an issue, right now I think we only found one that's actively listed in the community. Mm-hmm. If it does become an issue, we do have that in our back pocket that we could then bring back.
Good.
There's a wealth of information that was researched, and you know, we kind of went through, and there's a lot of ways different communities do it. If we ever get that problem, if there actually may be new information, we'll look at that, you know, as it comes.
Yeah, but as long as something came out of it for the future, so.
Any other questions?
No.
May I have a motion to approve the petition, Pete?
Correct.
Is that correct?
Sorry.
PZC 2019-05 short-term rental regulations.
So
I read it.
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on April 10, 2019, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council under request to amend Section 10-2-3 and Section 10-6-0 of the United City of Yorkville Zoning Ordinance as presented by staff in a memorandum dated April 3, 2019.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
Motion is approved. Do you want to speak any more on PZC 2019-09, which is the downtown form-based code and streetscape master plan?
What I would say is the only area that we are looking to codify would be the form-based code, and this is one step in another process you'll be seeing soon. We're looking at doing a unified development ordinance, so it piggybacks on what Doug was saying.
I'm sorry. Is Doug involved in that unified?
No.
It's two different things.
There's a different consultant.
Okay.
And in that process, they will take what Doug has presented and incorporate it. So not only will we have all the design elements as far as form provided, but now you'll have everything from stormwater to landscaping, all the other sections of the code in one area in an easy to form, you know, visualized chart. And then it'll be a smart code as well online.
Questions? May I have a motion to approve petition PZC 2019-09 Downtown Form-Based Code and Streetscape Master Plan?
So moved.
Second. In consideration of testimony presented during the public hearing on April 10, 2016, and discussion.
2019?
In
consideration of testimony presented during the public hearing on April 10, 2019, and discussions conducted at that meeting, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council a request to adopt the proposed downtown overlay district, which includes the streetscape master plan and form-based code, as prepared and presented by FAR Associates dated March 2019 and summarized in the staff memorandum dated April 3, 2019.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
And Markham?
Yes.
Motion is approved. Next is PZC 2019-12, Kendall County Petition 19-08, mile and a half review.
All right. So this is a mile and a half review from that we got from Kendall County. It's a currently agricultural property looking to be rezoned residential R1. Property is currently vacant for using for farmland. It's north of Galena Road and the Galena Road and Kennedy intersection. They are looking at petitioners are looking to buy this property and they'd like to build a house on it. And within that house, they want to run a small home business. It would be a carpentry business. They would be required to follow all the regulations of the Kendall County home occupation. That includes it has to be in a primary structure. It won't be like a separate business, and they can't generate more than 10 trips a day. So it'll be very, and especially for Galena Road, that you can't have extra traffic anyway, it would be appropriate there.
10 trips for themselves or 10 trips for customers?
Customers.
Okay.
So looking at... So a couple things to consider as well. The comprehensive plan actually does not call out this spot. It's within our mile and a half radius, so it's a courtesy for us to review it. But we actually, it falls on Montgomery side of our planning boundary. But it is something we wanted to review and just make sure, you know, there weren't any major issues.
Questions? May I have a motion to approve the petition PZC 2019-12, Kendall County Petition 19-08, rezone mile and a half review, please.
So moved.
Second.
There was no
Sorry, you don't have to do a motion on this. You just have to,
you know,
it's a mile and a half review.
Okay.
If you want to
Well, there's a longer side of somebody
objection.
Had to do.
Let me know if you wanted to a formal objection or anything like that.
No, your recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
There is.
Okay.
Who is presenting on PZC 2019-13 Grand Reserve Unit 23 Final Plat Approval for the Resubdivision of Certain Lots.
So we do have a petitioner here, but if the petitioner would like for me to do a summary from staff's memo, I can do that as well. Okay. So these properties are owned by the Avanti Group. Avanti Group is located in the Grand Reserve subdivision. So Grand Reserve has several units or neighborhoods, as they call them. One of the neighborhoods that is being actively developed is Neighborhood 1, which is Unit 23, which is also called the Colonies. The Colonies consists of very small villa-type homes, and they are geared and targeted towards older homeowners, 55 and up. But they are not restricted by any deed that the ownership has to be there. That's just who they attract, and that's their market. What they found in this particular area as the new builder, who is D.R. Horton, NBR. Ryan Holmes. They are building in there as well. There's a lot of developed builders in there. Ryan Holmes, what they found in these lots is that at the end of the cul-de-sac or the way that they are situated, people are tending to want the garage in a different location, or just the type of models that they're purchasing has a garage in a different location, and the lots are very narrow. And so what they're trying to do is to still stay within the confines of the original intent of the development, but just not encroach on that required side yard setback. So the solution for these six lots that they identified, and each one is scoped out for you, has an aerial, it identifies a lot, and it talks about the increase in the proposed lot area that they're looking for. They're going to take a little bit of land from the adjacent common area. There's a common area that's just open space, and then there's a common area that is for stormwater detention. So our engineer went and looked through the lots that are going to encroach upon that stormwater detention and found that there would be no negative impact on the capacity for that stormwater management facility to work and to function. There will be no building in the area that they are looking to expand the footprint of the lot in. It's just so that they can keep that distance buffer that's required by the code and by their annexation agreement. Staff did do kind of an analysis for you in the memo, which talks about the increase of change in common open space with these six lots, and it changes less than 0.1%. So there is no negative impact.
Of the overall common area.
Of the overall common area. So it's de minimis. And that's what we look for, because this was part of an annexation PUD. And part of that, you have to look at if there is an increase or change more than 5% of what was approved. So they are well under that threshold. Typically, these could be approved administratively as a minor PUD amendment. And the reason why we're bringing this here to you today is because it's actually changing the plat. And it's affecting an adjacent landowner, even though the landowner is the same. We had to bring it here for a formal approval of a final plat. So Brian Holmes here to answer any questions if you have them. Otherwise, the staff is recommending approval of the final plat as presented.
Is the common area plat already recorded?
So all of the units are recorded, the common area as well as the individual lots. The reason why this is pretty simple is because the owner of the lots, Avanti, also owns the common open space.
Right.
They are, in effect, still acting as the HOA. They have not turned it over to an HOA association.
How many homeowners are there in Grand Reserve?
In this particular unit?
No, overall.
Overall. Well, there's 2,500 lots that are approved. There are about 1,400, I believe, that are platted.
1,400 platted.
We cannot calculate just homeowners in that particular area.
So I went back and forth on this. Right, I can see both sides. I see that a recorded plat is a promise of common area. Right? If I bought into the subdivision and I saw a recorded plat that the common area was there,
you would think it's unchanged.
That's correct. I live next to common area, not in Grand Reserve, but in Whispering Meadows, and my kids have grown up in that common area. They love the heck out of that common area. It's next to the pond. They go there first before my yard. So I personally would not want that common area taken away. If there are six lots there and they're looking to expand those lots to put ranches, I would think you could also have five lots there and have sufficient surface area on the lot in order to have the ranches there. I don't think any reduction, if it's already previously recorded, would be appropriate. It'd be going against the promise that you gave the people in the subdivision. That's my opinion. You could also fence it into it just because it is a, you know, those common areas can't be built on. They can still be fenced in, correct?
Correct.
Right? You can't put a house there, but you can fence it, and then you aren't taking it from everybody. That's my opinion. Yes?
Yeah. So I think you'll see from your exhibit that the request here for the six lots are really in some of the more complicated cul-de-sac areas where the lots tend to have more of an odd shape. And so if you were in the subdivision, you'd see the house sidings, and therefore some of the driveways to get into these are a bit challenging. So really,
for a three-car or for a two-car?
Just for any car. They're all the single-story ranch homes. And so the intention here is really we moved the whole property line back slightly so that the approach could be better for the customer to get into the garage and, you know, still have the house, you know, set within now the same boundaries and setbacks. And that's really the intent here. And because the common area, yes, there is common area behind the home. You can see the common area really weaves behind all of these homes. And it's, you know, it's still an area that the customer would enjoy. It's now going to become part of their property, and I don't think you're taking common area away from the balance if you see how the common area is actually situated in this community versus, you know, a lot of communities you have one general common area for someone to, you know, to go and enjoy.
What's the maximum distance that we'd be taking from the common area between the existing back lot line to the new proposed back lot line? Do we know that?
Well, I don't know the exact number, but what I can tell you is, if looking at the lots themselves, these were six of the most disadvantaged lots in the subdivision. If you look at how they currently exist, they do not extend, their rear property line does not extend as far back as their adjacent neighbors. So what we're trying to do is kind of right that initial wrong with them being as disadvantaged property sites as originally planned.
I don't know that I would call them disadvantaged. And you can have a two-story house there, and it's not like you can't build anything. We're building three-story buildings on postage stamp size lots next to the gas station. And I would also say that in the last couple of years, we've set a precedent, too, that we're not going to infringe on common area. When that proposal came up to put the wedding facility on the corner of 47 and Main Street on the north side of the bridge, they talked about putting the driveway easement through Ron Clark Park, and that was one of the many factors that we said was a red line we weren't going to cross by going through public space. I don't know. My two cents is that you can't take the common area if it's been recorded already, and then that's a promise to the people who bought the lots, in my opinion.
Putting that parking lot on that park is a way different percentage of land.
Yes,
than this.
I agree, but in your backyard,
less than 0.1%.
Of the overall common area, though, right? Because if we have, you know, 1,000 acres, and we're only taking 1 acre away, I mean, that's a low percentage. But if that 1 acre is right in your backyard or your neighbor, that's a high percentage to you.
Well, the common area, what we're taking is the common area directly behind the home that customer is actually purchasing. So it's just becoming now part of their, you know, property. I think to answer your question, I don't have the exact number with me. I think the maximum is somewhere between 15 to 20 feet. You know, that we essentially push the lot line back so that, you know, I can have a better approach to the drive.
Those numbers are provided. It tells you the dimensions. So the most is about 21 feet, and the least is about 16 feet.
I have to agree with Jeff in the premise of protecting those spaces. I also look at the feasibility of building a lot and get another taxpayer on there. While I don't necessarily like it, it is a small enough percent. I'm just concerned that, as Jeff is, that this will start becoming one of those things where we keep going into it. Now, that house will give property taxes and the whole nine yards, and the common area won't. kind of toward her as well.
I will say we've come in to trying to adequately serve a design that was already in place to the best of our ability. As the developer comes in for the future, I know he's going to come in and have to, as we're working, he's actually coming back here shortly for the second half of the development. Obviously we're trying to address these types of issues up front so we don't have to go back here.
I thought about it all week. It's not like this is a knee-jerk reaction either. I mean, if ranches work better on them, by God, put ranches on them, but I don't think that you can take it from common area, and I don't want to start that precedent either. If it was not recorded and it wasn't promised to anybody, then that'd be one thing, but it's recorded, and that's a promise, in my opinion.
So a little bit of history on this area of Grand Reserve. It is one of the most restricted areas in Grand Reserve. It's restricted by bedroom sizes, and it's restricted by building type. While there are, I think, one or two that are two-story in this area, is that correct?
Everything that we built has been a single-story.
It has been a single-story, right.
We have built approximately 15 homes there. I think we're, 23 when we first came into development. I think almost all of those were H's, if not all. So it's been an H-target product because there's a two-bedroom restriction on the community, and now it's currently a three-bedroom restriction.
Correct.
The whole goal here is, what we've certainly committed publicly is we're not building two-story homes. This is why we have the three-bedroom restriction. And this particular unit offers maintenance, grass cutting, snow
removal,
again, to serve that H-target buyer. So it really is designed to be, with the covenants in place as the H-target restrictions, to serve a ranch product. Those do tend to be slightly deeper than the two-story homes. And again, we're trying to, I think, make sure that the customer doesn't have a bad experience. There is a few homes out there that the way the driveways are set, it makes for a three-point turn to kind of get out of the driveway, and we're hoping to give the ultimate owner and the home the best experience and house site. So I certainly understand the principle you're coming from. I think the space we're taking is going to be directly to the homeowner that actually is the space is directly behind them and taking the open space from.
Thank you. Questions, comments? May I have a motion to approve the petition, PZC 2019-13, Grand Reserve Unit 23, final plat approval for the re-subdivision of certain lots?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
In consideration of the proposed final plat and re-subdivision of lots 202, 232, 239, 251, 287, 290, 3033, and 3034 Grand Reserve, Unit 23, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the plat to the City Council as presented by the petitioner in a plan prepared by Lieber Consulting Group dated last revised March 8, 2019.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Abstain.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
No. The motion is approved. Seeing as there is nothing further on the agenda tonight, may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed say no.